Shankaram. Peace. Good evening.
Good evening.
It is good to be with you once again. Beautiful Thursday evening. Good to see you. Share with you. During the week, we had a few incidents happening. A fellow by the name of Ken, who came here a couple of times, left his body. Some people have a few diseases. Some of you are very healthy. So what we'll do tonight is we'll talk about health, sickness, and death. We have to remember that these things are for the relative world. A being who has transcended the world has absolutely nothing to do with death or health or sickness. Yet you hear so many stories about different saints who seem to have died horribly. People like Christ, Malarpa, Ramakrishna, and our beloved Ramana Maharshi. They seem to have died horrible deaths. What's going on? These people were healers, apparently. Ramana Maharshi, Ramakrishna, Malapa were no healers, per se. But by people being in their presence, hundreds, thousands of people appears to have been healed. Yet these people died these horrendous, horrible, dastardly deaths. What happened? What's going on? Well, there's one school of thought that tells you that the sage takes on the evil karma of the devotees. I do not agree with this. The sage has absolutely nothing in him or her to take on anything. He has to be a taker. He has to be a part of the sage that is still active in this world in order to take on the evil karma of somebody else. But since karma does not exist, evil does not exist, therefore, how is it possible for this to happen? This is a story that is told. Perhaps some yogis may take this on themselves. They feel like transferring the disease to their own body, perhaps they can do this. As a rule, sages never do anything like this. The actual reality of the fact of the matter is this. There is health and sickness. Disillusion and regeneration. Good and bad. This has to be transcended. Instead of trying to bring health to a sick person. The proper action to take, I believe, would be to transcend both. Health and sickness. For one leads to the other. Who is healthy and who is sick? The ego. As the ego goes, where can it be sickness or healthy or health? There's only sickness and health because the mind or the ego seems to be active. We have people in this world like Joel Goldsmith, that most of you have heard of, who was a healer. He healed thousands of people in his day. There's a place for this. His method was to sit in the silence with his clients and not say anything, and the person would be healed. The way he worked is he had a strong consciousness of the fact that God expresses as the earth, as the flowers, as the trees, as human beings, as animals. There's only God. And God is absolute perfection. Therefore, if there's only God and is absolute perfection, where does sickness come from? This is the method he used. But he worked in the silence. He would never acknowledge a disease as having any validity. In other words, he would not try to remove the disease. For to remove the disease simply means that you believe you've got a disease. But in truth, there's no disease. And there's only God. Yet, a real true sage never works with things like this. Ramana Maharshi never taught his devotees to heal. When they asked him about his disease that he had in his body, he remarked the body itself is a disease. Which is true. Think how ridiculous healing is to begin with. If a person is healed of a disease, this doesn't mean they're going to live forever anyway. Most of the people that these people healed reverted back to their disease after a while. Some didn't. So they lived 5 more years than they should have. Then they dropped their body also. When you look at it this way, isn't healing a waste of time when you can use that energy to become self-realized? You can use that energy that you would use to heal people to work on yourself, to awaken to reality, and then you wouldn't care less whether there's health or disease or death or birth. Those things wouldn't matter at all if you were real and you were awakened to your true self. A sage does not belong to this world or to the universe. Therefore, a sage does not become interested in healing. Well, this would put the sage in a plane of relativity. We will not judge who is a sage and who is not. But the fact remains, in the Veda Vedanta, we are not trying to heal people. By your very presence, healings may take place. Just by being. This is why it's so important to work on yourself, transcending your body and the world, going beyond health, sickness, wealth, poverty, good, bad, going beyond this duality and coming to the place where there is ultimate oneness, where you have become pure being. Yet, people still observe the horrendous conditions that Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharshi, and the rest of these people went through. Evil is in the eyes of the observer. In other words, you see this yourself. You're seeing yourself where you are at this time in your point of evolution. When you look at a person dying, when you look at a person with problems, the sage does not have this problem. The sage who appears to be dying from a disease is not doing this. There's nobody left to have this problem. And we can't even say this is a sage body going through this as a sage. Well, the sage will explain to you and tell you he has no body. There's nobody that suffers. There's nobody that has a problem. There's nobody that goes through any situation in this world. And again you say, well, I see this thing. Try to catch yourself and realize what you're saying. I see this. It is the I thought that sees this. As we evolve on this path, we have to learn to catch ourselves when we talk. Not just babble and keep talking and talking. Talk less and try to remember the words that you use. You say, I saw this, so it must be true. The I you're referring to is the ego, the I thought, the mind. It is the mind that sees sickness and death. And it comes to the conclusion, this is horrible, this is terrible. When you begin to realize the mind does not exist, when you begin to see the ego does not exist, then there's no one who sees anything or feels anything that has any problems. You have to work it out with yourself. Always catch the eye in action. even if you're feeling pretty bad, even if you feel terrible about yourself or about somebody else or about the world, try to realize who it is that feels this way. Isn't that you? Your real nature is pure awareness. And it's something that feels like you. It's something that appears like you. Something that appears so real that you will not deny it. When you're suffering, you've got this pain, this sickness, this disease, or somebody else has it, you see it, you hear it, you talk about it, you feel it. Turn the other way. Turn the other way. Begin to feel your Buddha nature. Realize that you are no mind. In other words, there is no mind that has the power to cause any problems in your life. It is you who gave birth to the ego, to the mind, and your thoughts. What you is this? Who are you? Always be aware of this. Let your body do what it will. Do not interfere with it. Just be yourself. The self that is pure, bright and shining. Yet do not fool yourself. If you feel as if you can't handle it, then you have to go to a doctor. Know the truth and do what you have to do to take care of yourself. There are many Christian scientists who drop dead every day because they will not go to the doctor. It is true that if you understand Christian science, you'll be able to heal yourself and others. Yet there are very few people who have high consciousness. Do not worry about yourself or fret about yourself. Do not feel guilty if you have to see a doctor. Do not feel that you're doing something wrong, you're committing a spiritual sin. If you go to a doctor or a chiropractor or anything else, you're playing the game. You're living the mortal dream. And you're doing whatever has to happen, whatever you have to go through, but do it happily. Do not judge it or think about it or analyze it. Just do it. It's just like eating. When you eat, you do not analyze your food. You do not judge your food. You simply eat. And so it is with your health. If you feel something is wrong, and you can't handle it spiritually, go to a doctor. This is on the relative plane. I'm talking to you about these things because many of you have called me and you tell me about a problem you may have, and you refuse to get medical attention for this problem. You want to be healed spiritually, naturally. You have to remember everything is spiritual. That's the thing that many of you forget. You separate things. You separate things into categories. If you act spontaneously and you live in the here and now, then you will know what to do. You do not plan anything. You break your finger, you go to a doctor, you don't think about it, the doctor sets your finger in a cast, and everything's okay. There's nothing to think about, there's nothing to worry about, there's nothing to concern yourself about. Just do it. This is for everything in your life. If you wake up every morning and you realize the truth about yourself, that you are absolute reality, pure awareness, nirvana, ultimate oneness, this will begin your day. And you take it from there. Doing whatever has to be done. The problem is with some of you is you think too much about these things. You analyze the things that are going on in your life, you think about them, you worry about them, you fret about them. Whereas in truth, you just let go and do what you have to do. In the reality, there's absolutely nothing wrong. Everything is perfect and good. And the reality is here and now. This is the reality. This is where some of you become confused. When I say this is the reality, and you're feeling your humanhood, you're feeling your pain, you're feeling your stress, you're feeling whatever you're feeling, I tell you this is the reality, how can this be the reality? I feel lousy. I feel this, I feel that. You only feel bad when you think about it. Follow this closely. If you begin to live in the split second that I talk to you about, in the moment, you will not feel bad. If you begin to feel in the absolute moment that you are absolute reality, pure awareness, in that moment, you feel wonderful. And that moment turns into another moment, into another moment, into another moment. This is what I mean when I say everything is in its right place, everything is unfolding as it should. You are perfect now. You are perfect now. not in your thoughts when you begin to think about this. You are perfect right now. Right now. There is absolutely nothing wrong with you right now. Everything is in its right place right now. When you begin to talk about it, when you begin to think about it, when you begin to analyze it, something else comes in. Like a mirage. The water in the mirage appears to be real. And as you try to grab it, it becomes sand. Your disease, your sickness, your depression, your stress, even your happiness and all the things going on in your life and the world to make you happy, are like the mirage, like the water in the mirage. If you really try to grab it, it doesn't exist. When I say when you try to grab it, I mean when you try to live in that moment, in that split second. In that split second, there's only God. There are no room for thoughts. There's no room for anything else. But the moment you begin to think, you spot, and you become human once again. This is the reason you are given self-inquiry. For self-inquiry is beautiful for something like this. And you begin to see that I is sick. I have the problem. I is the one that is giving you the problems. Who is I? You have to catch yourself. Always catch yourself. When we say there's no sickness, there's no disease, this is the truth. But for whom is there no disease? For the one who knows the truth and lives in the truth and is the truth. This is why people like Christ, Krishna, Ramakrishna, Mana Maharshi, Manarpa, many others appear to have been suffering. Yet in truth, no one ever suffered. No one ever died. For no one ever lived. Try to understand this. Your true nature is spirit. Yet for some strange reason, you've taken on this form, what you call a body, that is born while you are being born. You are still the self. The self doesn't come into the birth. People ask the silly question, when does the soul come into the birth of the body? The third month, the fourth month, the sixth month. Try to understand the sutra. There is no soul that comes into anybody. You have always existed. The self is the self. When you take on a body, you are still the self. As the body grows through experiences, you are still the self. As the body appears to go through diseases, illnesses, situations in this world, you are still the self. When the body gets old and seems to die, you are the same self that existed before you were born. It's like a chalkboard. The chalkboard exists. You draw a baby being born on the chalkboard. Then you draw a picture of the baby growing up on the chalkboard. Then you draw a picture of the baby having cancer when it becomes a man or a woman. Then you draw a picture of the person dying on the chalkboard. From the very beginning, the chalkboard was there. The chalkboard was always there. The pictures were different. But the chalkboard was always there. In reality, you are like the chalkboard. You are the self. Pure intelligence. The self can never die. It was never born. There's no disease that can affect it. It is all pervading. And you are that. You have to begin to feel this. You have to let go of the clinging to the body. By letting go, I mean, do not feel that you are being persecuted, that you are being laughed at, that something is wrong with you, that you have illness or sickness or diseases. Always try to understand when this happens to you, who has these things. The image on the chalkboard. It is the image that has these problems, not you. You are totally free. You have always been free and you will always be free. There never was a time when you were not free. So it's wrong identification. Identify with the reality. Let's say, for instance, you have a hernia. you go to the doctor, nothing wrong about going to the doctor, nothing wrong with this at all. The doctor tells you what he has to do to correct the hernia. All the time you realize, you know, that you are not the body, you are not the image on the chalkboard. You are the pure self. But yet, you go through the hernia operation. You don't think about it, you don't argue about it. You've done whatever has to be done. And the body appears to be in good shape again. But all the time, you realize that nothing happened. There was no one that went through this experience. This is how you should look at your everyday affairs. At your business. Look at your home life. Look at the world. Look at what's happening in the world. The same way. Images. Everything is images. The light of the self appears to cause these images to take form and do whatever it has to do. But there's only the self. This is the reality. And the images don't even exist. You don't even say they appear to exist. So when you think they appear to exist, you're giving them value, you're giving them power. You're believing in them as if they were reality. So you have to ask the question, to whom do they exist? To whom do these images exist? They exist in me. I feel them. As soon as you say this to yourself, immediately the answer should come to you. It is the I thought, that feels the images, not you. You are free and clear. You have absolutely nothing to do with the I thought. Now, when you've done this, you've separated the disease, the problems, whatever it may seem to be, from yourself, haven't you? Because the I thought is out here someplace. It has nothing to do with you. The I thought feels sickness, feels like a headache. The I thought feels that when something good happens, you're happy in this world. And it's all the I thought that feels this. So you just watch. You observe. As you keep doing something like this, as you understand what I'm talking about, you will notice that the pain disappears. For after all, who has the pain? The I thought, not you. You therefore look at yourself as two separate entities. this will help. You look at yourself as the I thought, which goes through the world and has all kinds of experiences in the world, good and bad, rich and poor, sick and healthy, and the self, which is absolute reality, and is free and clear of everything. This simply means that what you call a sickness or a disease or a problem is outside of your jurisdiction. It appears to exist by itself. It is not you. You have absolutely nothing to do with these things. Do not judge by appearances. Do not try to analyze or figure it out. For you get deeply involved when you do this. Even discussing this is not right. This is between you and yourself. There's absolutely nothing to discuss. Nothing to talk about. You remember the chalkboard analogy? And you realize that you've always been, you always will be. There never was a time when you were not. And these other things are simply images. They seem to be superimposed on the self. So do not identify with the disease itself. Do not identify with the problem or whatever. Rather identify with the self. With the one that has always been. I am that. It's not really hard. As you go through everyday experiences, always catch yourself. Always catch yourself thinking. Catch yourself worrying, being afraid. And immediately understand that you are like the chalkboard. You are the absolute reality that has never changed. That has always been and will always be. You are perfect.
The other day you were talking about compassion, and my understanding is compassion is that you help or give you to have a compassion with disciples that are pain.
Yes.
So?
Yes, that's true.
One thing, a few months ago I mentioned the fact that an addiction to alcohol was lifted from me overnight. And I want to see if I get the right intellectual understanding of what transpired. It could be said to be my calm. But there's no such thing as my calm. It's calm. And this particular thing happened through this psychosomatic apparatus also. And also, I had another similar thing, but I didn't have anything to do with it anywhere along the line. I wasn't being rewarded. And I wasn't being punished at the time. I had bad experiences, like two heart attacks, a derailment, open heart surgery, and being a victim of so-called alcoholism. And I didn't have anything to do with it, because it really it wasn't real in the first place, any of it. Is that an accurate description of what has happened?
In a way it is, but remember there is no karma to begin with. There's not only not your karma, there's no other karma. Karma doesn't even exist. Do not give it any power by believing in it. This is something we use that word to explain situations to people and you don't understand. So we say it's karma. But in reality there's no karma.
Karma is in the duality.
Karma is in the duality. And you have absolutely nothing to do with it. And therefore, by realizing the truth about this, a healing can take place. The things you mentioned will happen by themselves.
Robert, this is less a question than just sharing a comment, and it's definitely on the relative level, but for some reason until tonight, maybe, when you spoke of healing, so when I heard of healings long before I knew you, I never assumed that they were to prolong life, but rather to alleviate the pain and suffering that someone was going through, and surely on the same relative level, this is good because, for example, Yogananda, from the viewpoint of a yogi rather than a sage, said it was much easier to dwell on spiritual matters in a healthy body.
Mm. This is true. What I'm saying, if you dwell on the understanding of your real nature, then what you call pain will diminish. The more you understand the truth about yourself, the less you'll be involved in pain or sickness or death, even though you may be going through it. This is paradoxical, but it's true all the same. If you understand the truth about yourself, that you are absolute reality, that you are pure awareness, that you are pure being, then understanding removes the so-called pain from your so-called body. For in the absolute reality, there is no pain, no pain exists. As you keep seeing yourself apart from the pain, as you keep seeing yourself as a different being, totally apart from the pain angle, where the pain comes from, and you separate yourself from it by knowing the truth about yourself, then there will be no pain. But the paradox is, you will appear to be in pain to others. Just like the people we were talking about in Mana Maharshi, Ramakrishna, and so forth. Christ was nailed to the cross. But in reality, he was not in pain. There was no one to be in pain. He appeared to others to be in pain. This is the way we perceive him. But we're perceiving ourselves as immortal, as human. As long as you think of yourself as a human being, then you have to go through pain, through trials and tribulations. But as you lift yourself up, and you transcend the pain and the sickness and the health and everything else, you may appear again to go through all kinds of experiences. But you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're not going through anything. In other words, you're free from it. Even though other people may see you suffering and pain. How can this be? It's very difficult to understand, to explain. But nevertheless, this is the truth. Ramakrishna was wasting away. Totally wasting away. He was becoming nothing but a bag of bones. The cancer ravaged him and ate him up completely. And he was not in pain. He was totally free. Who dies? Who's in pain? We are, because we see this. We observe this. How can the pure self be in pain? How can the absolute reality be in pain? When you know that you are the absolute reality, then the body of this world, the human bodies, and appear to be human bodies, do not even exist any longer for you. You are finished with all that. Even though you appear to have the body, and you appear to be having experiences in the body. But again, the experiences are not for you. They are for others to observe. And you are completely free of the whole thing. You are to focus your attention on the reality, on the I Am. When you focus your attention on the reality and you become the reality, everything else has been transcended.
On the other hand, I have to admit I rather like the idea of karma when I consider the murders, atrocities, and torture going on. The people that are committing that, I really hope that they do
You are saying this from the place that you're coming from. You are speaking from the state of a human being, a mind. But when you're no longer a mind, when you're no longer a human being, then you have become the murderer, you have become the saint, you have become the whole universe. You are the self of everybody. There will be no difference between the murderer and you. You are that. You are the self of the whole universe. You are the whole Leela. The whole Maya. It's all taking place within yourself. You are that. Yet you feel nothing but bliss. You are pure consciousness, all-pervading. And the whole universe, all the games that are being played in the universe, the murderer, the person who gets murdered, all are within you. Remember the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna refused to fight Krishna explained to him, go and fight, for in reality no one dies, no one is killed, no one kills. And this is the truth about us. Everything we see is a game of Maya, the Leela. It has absolutely nothing to do with your true self. But when you're coming from the standpoint of mind, which you said is real and true, where karma exists, it punishes, retribution exists, it punishes, all these appearances seem to exist. But to whom do they exist? Only to the mortal being, to the I thought. So who are you? Are you the I thought, or are you the self? If you are the self, there are no thoughts. There's no one who wants retribution. There's no one who wants punishment. There's no one who wants goodness. There's no one who wants happiness. You are through with all these things. You have risen. You are free. Yes. This is good. All these things are good. There's absolutely wrong with this. I'm sure he is now merged into the infinite. And all is well. It was a good thing he did for me. Yes, you rose higher. You let go to the extent that you were able to raise your consciousness to a higher level. And you were able to see that you are not the sickness, you are not the body that seems to be diseased. You are pure reality. And to that extent, you observed your body and saw that it was the body that becomes sick, not your true self. If you were able to see it more clearly, then the body would just disappear and you would be healed. And there would be no sickness to begin with. But if you can just see yourself as absolute intelligence, total reality, the total reality becomes yourself. It is yourself. It always was yourself. So what you did is you let go for a few moments, for a while, of the mortal dream of sickness, and you rose higher where it doesn't exist. And this is the experience you had.
consider somebody or something evil, I'm judging.
Yes.
We're told not to judge.
Of course.
So.
You're right.
Thank you. Don't know.
We shouldn't even judge ourselves.
Sir,
we shouldn't even judge ourselves.
There's a tough one for me, because I've always thought I should be
different. Leave yourself alone.
My own self be true. That's the self of the big is, and the self of the little is.
Leave everything alone. Leave the world alone. Leave your body alone. Leave others alone. By that, I do not mean that you isolate yourself. I simply mean, in your mind, leave everything alone in your mind. You can make your mind one-pointed. What stays in the heart and then your association with others will be beautiful. You will find that you are happy and all will go well with you. But learn to leave things alone. Do not interfere in the lives of other people. Mentally.
Telling us the other day about the lady who talked so bad about what was written about Elvis in the choir. Now, I remember not too long ago, they had a headline on the front that said, Statue of Elvis Found on Mars. I thought it was funny. They also had another one. They had a real good one. It said, survivor of the Titanic found on iceberg. The dress was still wet. I mean, this headline's in the paper.
Why do you read these things?
I don't. I just see them enough to get a laugh at them.
Don't do anything to sell papers.
It seems like they also said the headline in the front, Sleeping with your wife and wrecking your marriage.
That makes sense.
Maybe they're right.
Robert, your address today was pretty much for people who are on this advanced level of understanding of the path, etc., of the self. Do you understand what I mean?
People what?
Your address today was people who can understand what you're saying and work on it this way.
Yes.
But a lot of people out there, this is healers who are out there are sometimes the only people that help alleviate some of their confusion and misidentification so that they can actually get closer to understanding their true nature.
True, there's a place for everybody.
Yeah.
There's a place for everything. And we're talking from the point of Advaita Vedanta.
Located on the right side of the
That's exactly what you just said. It's relative. It's a relative truth. People want to know where the spirit soul heart is located. It's located on the left side of the chest. They want to know where in the body the self abides. So we tell them that the self abides on the right side of the chest. Due to the fact when you talk about yourself and you point to yourself and say, who, me? Don't you point to the right side of your chest? Unless you're left handed.
No.
And you point to yourself.
Well, there are a lot of other people who use the same argument and say, don't you point at the center of your chest? And this person pointed at the center of his chest.
But there's also some people, and maybe it's cultural, they point to their head.
Well, they don't count.
But there's got to be another reason. I guess
that's culturally determined.
This is something that was given by some saints to make people understand that God resides in your heart and not in your physical heart.
Right. Did Ramana ever talk about it? You
know, yes.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's like something a little bit more to it in a way?
No, nothing more to it at all.
It's still relevant.
It's relevant, yes. Because many people, especially in India, have many ignorant people who have learned that God is within you. So they would question him thoroughly and they would say, where does God reside if he's in you? They couldn't understand that there's no body, the body doesn't exist. So we told them that God resides in your heart. So where is your heart? It couldn't be on the left side because that's where your physical heart is. So there was a place called the heart center, which is the right side of the chest, and that's where God lives, that's where the self is. If you focus your attention on your heart center, it expands sometimes for some people, and the whole center turns into light, and the whole body becomes a body of light by meditating on the right side of the chest and the heart center.
So there seems to be an effective technique?
It's actually because you're focusing your attention on it, and in your belief, you believe that there is God resting on the right side of your chest. So you have all these experiences of lights.
Right. And so several people do have been experiencing it since you've been talking about it so many months ago too.
Yes. So it's valid. It's good.
Like a trick of the mind, trick of the mind.
Sure.
And immediately in the flash I had a vision of, you know, poor Henry having a terrible time now with his neighbor. This guy, you know, bringing the police and everything, you know, causing all kinds of problems at the end of our meeting here. And so I said, Krishna, I said, no, it isn't. And then to my surprise, he said, well, it should be. Everyone should be overthrown. He walked away totally satisfied. There wasn't any point to that.
You should have told him the signs on me. Everything is beautiful. I wish I could really share with you the joy and the beauty and the bliss that really is. If you only look through your body and transcend the body and see the reality of yourself, then you couldn't care less what the body is going through. But suffice it to say that all is well and everything is unfolding as it should. That's another thing you can use. When things seem to go wrong someplace, when you feel a sickness in yourself or others, say all is well to yourself. And really feel it. There are no qualifications to that. All is well, period. Everything is happening at the right time, in the right place. There are no mistakes. None have ever been made, none are being made, none will ever be made. Everything is really beautiful. Bliss at the same time. Bliss. Bliss.
Bliss. Bliss.
All is well. Everything is bliss. Your real nature is bliss. Now I'll call you Tom Bliss. Another technique we can practice, especially those of you who are sitting with me in the morning from 6 to 9 a.m. or from 12 to 3 a.m. A good practice would be to practice the I Am meditation. Rather, who am I meditation? To give yourself a break from the I Am meditation. And the way you practice this, we'll do it together. Again, you just close your eyes and you breathe naturally, peacefully. And with your respiration, as you inhale, you inquire, who am I? Before you exhale, you say, I am that. And when you exhale, you say, I'm not the body. Who am I? I am that. I am not the body. You breathe naturally. You don't emphasize your breathing. Let's try this. Inhale, say, who am I? Before you exhale, you say, I am that. And you exhale, saying, I am not the body. Beyond peace. Any comments on this form of meditation? All these things are very important to practice. If you can sit in the silence and do nothing, that's better. And as the mind wanders, as you do these things, it helps.
We have more transcripts. The latest. And this is very, very beautiful. Beyond silence, beyond nothing. And it's really very good news. Good.
We have some delicious looking cookies, yeah. Why don't you pass them around?
Oh, right.
And we have some.